Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 will begin in verse 1 and read through verse 5. I'll be reading from the King James Version. I believe behind me will be the New King James Version. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Certainly a blessing to be here on this morning. It's good to see all of God's people here as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Hope, pray, and trust that you've had a great week on last week, and you will have your mind made up to have a good week this week. The realities of the promises. What a blessing it is to know that God has given us a book of victory. What do we mean by that? The book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament, is the book of victory. God's people ultimately win. We stop and we consider Revelation 21, which was read by our dear brother in our hearing. And before we get to that text, I want us to be considering John. When we think about John, according to Revelation 1 and verse number 9, was on the isle called Patmos. Find it interesting, for the reason why he was there was because of the word of God and the testimony which he held. When you think about the isle called Patmos, an island, of course, is a piece of land that is surrounded by water. Here, Patmos is roughly about 40-something nautical miles from the Isle of Miletus, Ephesus, region of Asia Minor. We stop and we think about that, and the Isle of Patmos is very interesting because it is situated in the Aegean Sea right between there and the Mediterranean. Find it very interesting in that body of water. You'll find there the Isle of Patmos. Here we understand that John was exiled there for a very good reason, the word of God and the testimony that he held. Another thing we find very interesting that in Revelation 1, in verse number 10, we find it interesting that John was in the Spirit. The Bible teaches us that it was on the first day. It was the Lord's day. Today is the Lord's day. Today is the day in which God wants his people to come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. But I found it very interesting. Some four times the phrase in the Spirit is used by John. We find it there in Revelation 1 in verse number 10, him being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But we also see it in Revelation 4 in verse number 2, where we find the throne room, and John has the great privilege and honor to be able to peer into the throne room of God. Friends, let's not take that lightly. I know John was awed to be able to see the throne of God and to see the one sitting upon the throne. And the 24 elders around the throne, here we find that John was in the Spirit on that particular day to be able to see the throne room. But then you go from there to Revelation 17 in verse number 3. There we see that John is again in the Spirit. He's carried up onto a great and high mountain. And there, being there in the wilderness, he sees some things that's very powerful in, again, John being in the Spirit. But lastly, we see John in the Spirit, Brother Brian, in Revelation 21 and verse number 10. John being in the spirit, seeing the bride, the body of Christ, the church, if you will, in its glorified state, the new Jerusalem. He sees something very powerful. So how do we reconcile all these things that John saw? Did John see this physically? No, friends. He saw it in the spirit. According to Revelation 9 and verse 17, there the Bible demonstrates that everything that John saw was a vision, was a vision. The very fact that John was in the spirit, meaning that he wasn't in the body. Find it very interesting, Brother Royce, that Paul talked about a man that was caught up into the third heavens. Whether into the body, out of the body, he didn't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So we know that it's possible, but the very fact that God did this, allowing us to be able to peer into the throne room, to see the things that John saw, signifying things that must shortly come to pass. Friends, this is a great book. It's a book of victory. It's a great book of promises. And this is one thing we want to discuss on this morning, because when we consider the very promises of God and all of the lessons that have been preached this month on the promises of God, y'all had to put up with me the first week, and then we was privileged to hear Brother Brian. Of course, I was out that week, and then we had Brother Clay Bond, who did a magnificent job talking about the promises of God Sunday morning and also on Sunday night. And I thought it was appropriate, as we end this month of the promises of God, to look at the victory that we have. Point number one. When we think about the reality of the promises, we think about the reality of the new home. The reality of the new home. In Revelation 21, the first three verses, we find something very powerful. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Friends, the first earth and the first heaven and the first earth, I suggest to you, as you already know, is what we're experiencing right now. The very fact that we see the physical earth, we see the physical firmament, we see where the birds fly into the solar system. But of course, we cannot see into the third heavens, because that is the place of the unseen. However, we understand that John said that had passed away. And when you look at Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, we see that it did definitely pass away before God. Here we understand that this new home is going to be a home that is known as the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. Keep in mind that John was on the isle called Patmos, as he is caught up in the spirit, if you will. When you think of Patmos, Patmos was about 1,000 nautical miles from Jerusalem. So he's not talking about the physical Jerusalem. He's talking about the new Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the church of Christ glorified. That's what he's talking about. How do we know that? We'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But we do know these things. We know that according to John 14, 1 through 3, that Jesus promised to prepare this place. He left here to go prepare a place. And he told his disciples, Brother Essex, that I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. Friends, that was a promise that Jesus made. The very fact that he made this promise, we know that according to 2 Peter 3 and verse number 13, that righteousness dwells in this holy place, in this new Jerusalem, this place that God promised, that the Son promised, that the Word of God demonstrates to us. And friends, make no mistake about it. Paul would say in Philippians 3 and verse number 20, our citizenship is there. That's where our home is. It is true that Christians sometimes get too caught up here thinking that this is home. This is not home. Just die and find out that this is not home. Our home is beyond the blue. We sing that song, don't we? Here the Hebrews writer would bring out in Hebrews 11 and verse number 10 that it is a place of a spiritual foundation. Oh, the foundation that we have today is rocks, dirt. But the foundation that is in heaven is spiritual, where God is. It's a place where Brother Scott sung very well with us. It's the home of the soul. You think about some of the great song leaders that this congregation have. We have Brother Chad and Brother Brian, Brother Jerry. We have men like Brother Nate, and Brother Victor. We have great men who sing. Brother Headache. I remember one occasion, some of these songs being sung, your eyes just well up with tears of joy because the home of the soul is not here. This is not the home of the soul. But I'd be remiss to not bring up a great song leader in his own right. He was one of my instructors who taught me singing at school, Brother Bill Reed. Remember one time he was getting on me in class singing. Friends, you know, when we think of home of the soul, we ought to sing that song with great vigor because this is not our home. We even sing that song, this world is not my home, what? I'm just passing through. Friends, we are passing through. And there is a promise, there is a reality. And when you stop and you consider what we're going through down here, friends, this is not the reality of all realities. The reality of all realities is heaven, is home, is where God is. It's where we live truly. But then notice number two, the reality of the glorified body. Friends, we have a new body coming. Look at Romans 8, 23 through 25. I know I have 24 up there, but it's just like anything else. As you're reading and studying, you're thinking about things, you always want to add a little bit more. Friends, there is a glory. There is a new body that we're waiting for. Just this past week, I was working out and must have twinned something. I was telling Brother Lane this just last night, and it just started feeling good. I'm like, man, I can't be doing that no more. You know, there are some things that you just can't be doing. But one thing about that new body, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it aching and feeling bad. In Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 23, notice what the Bible says. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting notice for the adoption. What is the adoption, Brother Paul? The redemption of our bodies. God is going to bless us with a different body. He's going to redeem our bodies. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Watch this. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We're longing for it. We're waiting for this new body. There's a reality of the new body. John would say in 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses, it's going to be a body like the Lord's. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 39 that this body will be a body that pleases God. Friends, there are so many people who are trying to do all that they can to keep this body alive, and rightfully so, but there's an inward man. There's a reality of the inward man. There's a reality of a new body that's going to cover this inward man one day. That's what we're longing for. That's what we're waiting for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 42 through verse number 44. Notice what the Bible here says. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You see that? It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Jesus was raised in power by the Spirit of holiness. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. This natural body, and there's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. Friends, the body that we're waiting for is a celestial body. It's a body literally in the Greek of the sky. A body of the sky. The body that we are housed in right now is a body of the dust, the dirt. But the body that we're longing for is a body of the sky. It's a celestial body. It's a body that is going to be transformed. A body that's going to be changed. A body, again, that pleases God. Watch this, friends. Can you imagine a body that's not longing for things that are contrary to holiness? Can you imagine a body that doesn't have to be brought under subjection 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Can you imagine a body that truly a house for the soul, that is in full agreement with the soul itself? Can you imagine a body like that? Don't you get tired of living in this body sometimes that is constantly fighting against what is right? Friends, I don't know about you, but I do. I'm looking forward to that celestial body, that body of the sky, that is no longer going to be fighting and warring with my soul. That's what I'm looking for. That's the glory. That's the reality of life. And Paul had this longing. Peter had this longing. John had this longing. And Jesus was raised from the grave, and he's in that celestial body even right now. And we know that because when Jesus was raised from the grave, Jesus showed himself to over 500 brethren at once, showed himself to his disciples, showed himself to Mary and Mary, showed himself to the two on the road to Emmaus. And according to John 21, that's not the body that John says that we're going to have according to 1 John 3. Those are two different bodies. And we know that because John said, for we don't know what we're going to be as, but we're going to be as he is. And everyone that has this hope within them purifies himself even as he is pure. Smile, brethren. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful that the body that we're going to get is not going to be like this. It's not going to be like this. There's a reality of the new body. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Where? Eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. Friends, we got a new body coming. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Number three, when we consider the reality of no longer being surrounded by sin. Oh. Look at Revelation 21. We looked at the first three verses. John, of course, being on the Isle of Patmos, in the Spirit. Verses 4 through verse number 8. We see something very powerful. Notice what he says. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain. Why, John? For the former things have passed away. Can we stop there real quick? Some like to argue that Revelation 21 is talking about the church of Christ on earth today. I beg to differ. Because these things are still happening right now. These things were happening even as John was putting this in writing. And we know that he can write because Revelation 14:13, the Bible says the Holy Spirit told him to write. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Revelation 10 and verse number 4, he told them don't write. Revelation 14:13, he tells them to write. So we know that he had the option of writing because the Holy Spirit was going to either give him that or not give him that. And so he told him to write in one place and told him not to write in another place. And so he wrote this. He wrote that these things will no longer be. Friends, this is powerful that the people of God don't have to worry about sin. I bet we're like Lot at times in 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 11, where the Bible says that his righteous soul was vexed because of all of the sin that was around him, all of the evil, the wickedness, the mischievousness that was going on around him. The Bible says that his righteous soul was vexed. He was bothered. Aren't you bothered? Really, this world is not our home. We are passing through. We ought to be bothered by the things that's going on around us. The wickedness that is at an all-time high, at least in our generation, at least what we think. Paul stated that the only way to escape the wickedness of this world, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 10, is to leave this world. And the very fact that we're in this world, that means that we have to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, city is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Friends, we have a reality. And that reality one day is that we don't ever have to worry about sin any longer. But then take notice of something. In Revelation 22, look at Revelation 22 and verse number 15. In Revelation 22, verse number 15, we see something very interesting as well. But outside of what, John? Outside of the holy city, outside of the New Jerusalem, outside of the glories of God, but outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's outside. Friends, there's going to be a time where we don't even have to worry about what we're seeing right now. Outside. Which means that on the inside, there's nothing but glory and bliss and eternal life with God Almighty. Friends, God wants us to be a people who are appreciative of being on the inside of the church, but even more so appreciative of one day being on the inside of those four walls, the inside of where the foundation of the apostles are, the inside of where the walls are going to be of those precious stones. Of course, that's spiritually speaking. Friends, we ought to have an appreciation that one day all of this is going to be over. One day it's all going to be over. John is giving us this great picture of the promises that we have. And there is a reality of those promises. And because of that, this is what we do during the meantime. We walk circumspectly. We walk carefully, Colossians 4, verse 5, Ephesians 5, verse 15. We're like John. Look at Revelation 1 and verse 10. And let me make one little point in Revelation 1 and verse number 10 with one single word. With one single word. Notice John. In Revelation 1 and verse number 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. Verse, did I say 9? I meant 9. I, John, there it is, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom. Now, here it is. And patience of Jesus Christ. That word patience is the idea of steadfastness. John was steadfast even though he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Friends, shouldn't we be exiled? Shouldn't we be steadfast, rather, even though we haven't been exiled? Shouldn't we be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord? Friends, we can do this. Number four, the reality of being in God's presence. I think this is probably one of my favorite points right here. In Revelation 22 and verse number 4, notice what the Bible says. In Revelation 22 and verse number 4, it talks about his servants, them serving him. Verse 3, they shall see his face. We made this point before, that no one has ever seen the face of God and lived. But we're not talking about a physical face. We're talking about being in the very presence of Almighty God. That's what we're talking about. I thought we're in the presence of God now, but not like then. We're going to actually be in God's presence. And as I was thinking about this and pondering this, I was thinking, there's going to be a day where there will be no more prayers being offered, no more giving being given, no more fruit of the vine or broken bread being taken. Why? Because we'll actually be there. No more faith, no more hope, just love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. I love coming to worship. I love being with the brethren. But there's going to be a day when we're never, ever have to jump in our vehicles, go to our own homes, and not see each other for a couple of days to a week. That day is coming. That day is coming where we don't ever have to worry about our funeral. We don't ever have to worry about the hospital. We don't have to worry about none of those things any longer. That day is coming. That day is coming. And as much as we love to worship God in spirit and in truth down here, we don't have to be concerned about that there, because we're going to be in his presence and we never, ever going to leave one another. There are some good people that I thought about as I was pondering this and meditating. Some people in San Antonio that I've met, people in Abilene that I lived with for over 8 years. There'll be some people that you've met, some people that you've grown close to in the Lord. One day you don't ever have to worry about goodbye. You don't ever have to worry about, hey, I see you later. You don't have to worry about that no more. I'm looking forward to that day. You don't have to worry about that no more. Why? Because the God of heaven will be around his throne. As John was able to peer into the throne room of God in Revelation 4, and God blesses us to be able to peer into the throne room of God, friends, we'll be around that throne. We'll be among the 24 elders, the apostles, the prophets of old. We'll be among them singing to God. We'll be the ones that God is going to be, his son rather, the lamb. Let me fix that. Let me make this point since I said that accidentally. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, turn there. According to 1 Corinthians 15, real brief little point here. Verse number 24, the end will come. Jesus is going to deliver the kingdom up to God the Father. He's going to put an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Jesus is not going to have all power like he has right now. He's not going to have it. Jesus is not even going to be the Son. Why? Because there's not going to be a need for redemption any longer. There's not going to be a need for intercession and mediation any longer. Why? Because of verse number 28. According to verse number 28 of 1 Corinthians 15, God will now be all in all. It will just be God, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Now, I had to say that. And the reason why is because when we consider, we don't have to worry about the sonship. Jesus is not going to be the Son. Jesus is just going to be the Word. It's going back to being the Word. So why is that important? Because he is the one that is going to be taking us to the trees of life, to the waters of life. He's the one that's going to be teaching us all day long. What is he going to be teaching us? I don't know. And it really doesn't matter. You know what matters, friends? Is that we're there with God. Our discipline, our determination, and our drive will have paid off. Why? Because we are in the very presence of God. We will actually be in his presence because we chose to live for him today. Because we're in his presence. Last but definitely not least, the reality of the waters of life. In Revelation 21, in verse number 6, we see something very interesting as well. And he said to me, John is writing, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Now notice what he says. "I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." You can put in your notes 1 Peter 1 and verse number 25 there. You think of that and you consider Revelation 22 in verse number 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal." Friends, don't look at this physically. This is spiritual. You think of the waters of life. Jesus calls his word water. He calls the written word water. That's what we thirst for. That's what we hunger for. The bread of life, the water of life. And here he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Friends, did you see that? The God of heaven is going to be taking care of us because he is the fountain of life. Proverbs 14, 24, Jeremiah 2, verse number 13, Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Perpetual nourishment will be our life. Perpetual nourishment.
We will forever be nourished by God. Forever.
Friends, that's the reality of what we're doing even today. Is it worth me reading my Bible? Is it worth me listening to the Word? Is it worth me listening to the Word of God? Is it worth me applying God's Word to my life? The answer is yes. A perpetual feasting, a perpetual fellowshipping, a perpetual relationship with the Father will be our reality. No longer will we have to offer those words in prayer. No longer will we have to be at a distance because of this flesh. We will be with God throughout eternity. That's the reality of all of the promises we've been talking about all week, all month. I said before, don't you hate leaving people? Don't you hate leaving worship? Don't you hate saying goodbyes? Don't you long for the consistency of the glory of God? Friends, God wants us to understand and appreciate the reality of all of the promises that He has made to us. Here's the question. Do we appreciate them? I believe we do. I hope, pray, and trust that this month of talking about God's promises has encouraged you, challenged you, and helped you. And the reason why is because we need all the help that we can get in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We need all the help that we can get. But there is a reality. We will hear "well done" to those of us who are faithful. That's a reality. I'm going to offer a word of prayer, and then I'm going to give the invitation, and the lesson will be yours for consideration. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're thankful for you allowing us to come before you. Father, one day, this flesh will not be in the way, that we'll be in your presence, that we'll be around the throne, that the Lamb will be leading us through that perpetual feasting and fellowship. We pray to Father that we will never take that longing and reality for granted. Help us to always realize that the body that we're living in is tough at times to live in. But if we will just discipline it and defeat the temptations of this life like your Son did, it is written, we will be victorious. Father, we pray that nothing will get in the way of us hearing "well done." We know, Father, that there is no temptation common to man that is able to defeat us. We know that, Father, but we pray that we will just lean upon your word and on one another and confess sin and confess fault and truly trust you. Father, I ask that you forgive us when we fall short. We pray that if anyone here this morning is struggling, that they will have the courage, that they will have the poise to pull someone to the side, an elder, a brother, or a sister, and communicate with them the things that they're working through and dealing with. We ask you, Father, that we will always respect your word, that we will honor you, that we will live lives that are worthy of the gospel. We ask all of these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider. Consider obedience to the gospel. The way that you do that is by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Being willing to repent of your sins, confessing Christ to be Lord, and being buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And as Brother Brian preached a few weeks ago on the promises of Acts 2:38, God will make a promise to you. And that promise he will give you is eternal life. If you will just be faithful, even to the point of death, and God will give you the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And maybe you're a child of God and you haven't truly been trusting in God. The realities of the promises, well, they're just kind of far-fetched. That happens at times, even to the best of us. Let's hang in there. Let's do what is right. Let's lean on one another. Let's lean upon the word as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.